sporting events or the Super Bowl. Where I grew up, there was evening church, and Super Bowl always fought with evening church. And there should never be a sporting event that's more important than the Lord's Day gathering. We have, our boys are playing soccer and they're paddling and some things to happen on Sundays, and we're just, this is more important. You should commit to coming to life group. You should commit to Sunday school. You should commit to members meetings. You should commit to the conferences that we're organizing. When we organize an event, just to spend time with each other, whether it's a potluck with no agenda or a picnic, whatever it is, you should commit yourself to being there so that you could get to know the people and that you could spend time developing deep community with them. Individually, what that means is you should have one another over for dinner. You should open your home for hospitality. As much as you are able, you should welcome people into your home or go to other people's homes when you're invited. You should take care of each other. Whether that's through meal train, whether it's through meeting some need, whether it's through helping someone clean up, helping someone move, helping someone paint. What does people need? Be there for them. Counsel one another. Paula runs a class. It is very extensive on how to counsel from the Bible. It would be great if you could all sign up for that and just be equipped to take the Bible and apply it to one another. Or if you can't do that, just be there. Go get coffee with someone and love them. Serve one another. Talents. Give yourself to this community in your talents. How do you do this? Well, corporately, we have a church work day. You need to connect with Uncle Lance or Uncle Ryan about what the church needs. How can you serve? Some of you are really gifted in maintenance and things like that. We have AV. If you want to know how to like run screens and things, all this stuff that I'm really terrible at, you can talk to Nick and Paula and Erica. We have nursery. That's an excellent opportunity to serve especially our young moms and dads who have little kids that are going to cry and distract in service, the 3 and under. Now, we want our kids in service. We are okay with kid noise, but 0 to 3, if mom needs a break to really focus on the Lord, the word, we want to provide that. You can help. Lord's Supper prep, preschool outreach. Everyone's talents will be different. Some of you need to keep your fingers far away from the buttons on the sound panel. Some of you don't need to sing on a microphone, but you need to sing loudly in your seat. All of our talents are very different, but whatever they are, use them. Individually, this means if you're an excellent cook, sign up for meal trains. If you're not an excellent cook and you have some money, go buy some Taco Bell. Particular needs, meet those needs. If you have mechanical skill, help people who have mechanical problems. If you have carpentry skill, help people who need carpentry skills. If you have some trade or legal skill, I don't know how many of you have called Kelly Pulley to get advice on like mortgage refinancing, rezoning or what's it called? Permitting, things like that. She's an excellent resource. And her talents are available for this community. If you have a talent, provide it. And then treasure. Corporately, this means give to the offering. Commit to helping the church steward. Individually, this means support each other directly as you're able. And support local businesses, especially businesses like Raymond's and James's and Kelly's and people who are in our church and are actively seeking to make a livelihood for themselves and their families. If you have an opportunity to take advantage of that, you should. Second point of application. Give yourself to the fellowship sacrificially. Give yourself to the fellowship sacrificially. Now, I want to point out the example of the Macedonians, okay? Now, in the New Testament, Paul talks about the Macedonians, not a wealthy people, newly converted Gentiles. Don't turn here. Write it down. I'm just going to read it to you. This is Romans 15. Paul says, at present, however, I'm going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints. So again, the persecution broke out in Jerusalem. All these people who were at one time wealthy, in the temple system, taking advantage. They were super rich. They redistributed. Now they're under persecution. All the saints, all the Christians in Jerusalem are heavily under persecution, and there's a famine, and they're poor now. And Paul's collecting resources from the church to support them. He says, "For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution," that word, there's that word again, "for fellowship, for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. For they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owed it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share," the same word, "in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in the material blessings. When therefore I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave Spain by way of you." So what he's talking about, "I will leave for Spain by way of you." What he's talking about is collecting from the Macedonians to support the saints in Jerusalem. And what he's talking about in verse 27, "For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings." What he's saying is that those who are fellowshipping in spiritual blessings ought also to fellowship in material blessings. You've come to fellowship and share the spiritual blessings. You ought to be of service to them, material blessings. Very real spiritual reality that you've come into a community that you are responsible for. The Macedonians realize that. What does that mean for them, though? In 2 Corinthians 8, Paul talks about the same group of people. He says, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints." What does that mean? Do you see that? Macedonians are so eager to support, to take part in the fellowship and all that it means. That in a severe test of affliction, in the midst of extreme poverty, with an abundance of joy, they give beyond their means for the well-being of others. It's incredible. Listen, what I don't want you to take away from this is the understanding that you need to impoverish yourself and your family to give money to the church. I don't want you to hear that. So write that off. It's not what I'm saying. What I do want you to take away from this is that whether it is time, talent, or treasure, you ought to give according to your means, as others can testify, and beyond your means, of your own accord, with great joy, despite severe tests of affliction, zealous for the favor of taking part in the building up of the body of Christ. Can you look at the way that you've spent your time, the way you've used your talents, and the way you've directed your resources, and honestly say that you've done that? Are you giving yourself to the fellowship sacrificially? Third point of application. Give yourself to worship in community. Give yourself to the fellowship by worshiping corporately. Give yourself to the fellowship by worshiping corporately. So notice how their fellowship here in Acts chapter 2 revolved around the temple and the apostles' teaching and the prayers and the breaking of bread. That's all worship language. Notice how they were together and they had all things in common. You cannot give yourself to this community and expect to do so in unity except through joining that community in corporate worship. And it's so common in America and in modern evangelicalism to see worship as an individual, emotional experience. We've talked a lot about this lately. It's all about you and God and a feeling. And most evangelical churches structure their worship to serve that impulse, so it's low lights, right? So that it's just you and God. Loud music to drown out all the bad singing around you. Soft preachers to kind of manipulate their emotions, right? And I want you to know that the reason we structure our gathering the way we do is so that you can see the saints around you, and you can hear them, and you can sing to them, and that you're hearing the same truths, and that you're being commissioned with the same truth to go and take part in the one anothering that is described in the New Testament church. So don't come in here and disappear in the music and the experience, but give yourself to the fellowship. When you hear the person singing next to you and it's bad, you ought also to know that their week was bad. And that you standing next to them to be a blessing to them in your singing, even if it's bad, is glorious. And when you take the Lord's Supper, don't get alone with God, but look around at the people who are being redeemed by God through the sacrifice of Christ. Sing loud. Amen the word loud. Amen at the end of prayers loud. Respond to the worship leading loudly. Be active in the corporate gathering as a part of the fellowship. The Lord's Day gathering is one of, if not the highest point of fellowship in the church. So come and hear the word together, pray together, sing together, understand the word together, break bread together, baptize new beliefs together, be sent out together, and come together in life groups and things like that regularly, fueled by our corporate gathering. Fourth point of application. We should be very intentional with our resources. Let's be intentional with our resources. Now, I know that you all trust Uncle Wes and Uncle Pete, who manage our finances, and they give reports and things like that, and you should. I trust them too. I trust them way more than I trust myself with money or managing money and planning and budgeting and things like that. But I want to challenge you not to give and then forget about it. Okay? So don't give your money to the church and be like, all right, whatever you're going to do with it. Be engaged with how this church is planning and setting a budget. Know that we're committed to be in prayer for those commitments that we're making. Ask about the progress on the commitments that we've made with our resources. Come to the members' meetings to hear the reports on finances, how money's being spent. The members' meetings are not that long. You generally get a budget update. It's glorious. It is a glorious opportunity for you to come together and to steward the resources that we have given in order for the kingdom to advance. Be a part of that. Be like looking forward to being a part of that. Not only that, but we should be more connected with how we're using our resources. You should ask these questions. What benevolence actions are being taken? What missionaries are we supporting? How is their ministry going? Do they need more? What are they well cared for? Churches should know whether or not their vocational pastor is doing okay financially. And let me just say that my family is well cared for, and thank you for the ways that you guys care for us. Are the building and grounds well maintained, and is there an adequate funding for that? Do the people who are responsible for that have enough help? Have you given your time and your talents in maintaining this property alongside Uncle Ryan and Uncle Lance and Travis and Lynn? Are the ministries of the church resourced with enough to be effective? Are we being wise? Can you point to ways that we're being wise? If not, I want to just encourage you to commit to coming to our members' meetings, understanding the budget, asking questions, and being a part of how we are directing our resources. Are you being wise financially so that you can support the work of ministry here? Are we being wise corporately as a church to ensure that we are raising and using our resources in a God-honoring way? Fifth point of application. Being out of the fellowship is ungodly. Being out of the fellowship is ungodly. It is absolutely ungodly to remain uncommitted to the fellowship. Now listen, there's a lot of grace because you've been fed the modern evangelicals' terrible ecclesiology for the past 200 years. So don't go around to your friends who are church hopping or whatever, or double dipping, and tell them that they're being ungodly, okay? I want you to realize the importance of commitment to the church. Ask yourself, can the people around me depend on me? Can the people around me depend on me? Not like, oh, well, I can encourage them when I see them and they know I love them and anytime they need something, I'm only a phone call away. Okay, but have they seen you in the past month? Can they know that you are going to be sitting there beside them when the Bible is opened and read? Can they know that when their car breaks down and they need to tap into the church's benevolent fund, that some of that money was given by you? Can they know that they're going to receive a piece of the same loaf of bread that you've received a piece of this morning when we take the Lord's Supper? Can they know that when they need a meal train, one of those meals is going to be made or paid for by you? Can they know that when they come heavy with burdens to life group, that you'll be there to bear that burden? Can they know that? Can you look around and say, these people can depend on me? And if not, are you really in fellowship here? Now, I know that this is a really heavy statement, but a majority of American Christians have just an absolutely ungodly view of what the fellowship is in the body of Christ. Would our current level of commitment to the body be acceptable to the early church? Absolutely not. Then why is it acceptable in the modern evangelical church? Final point of application. I have a question. Just a question to leave us with. As we go into Palm Sunday, Easter, and then we jump into some pretty deep thinking on the topic of community, we need to ask ourselves this question. Does this fellowship describe KBC? Does this fellowship describe KBC? Well, praise God, I think that it describes parts of KBC. But unfortunately, we are much larger in number on paper and in our records than we are on Sunday morning. There is a substantial list of people who are technically members here who we never see. And brothers and sisters, that does not honor God. It is not obedience to His word. And we need to take action. We've got some work to do. We've got some work to do as a church to ensure that when we read about the fellowship that happened in the New Testament, we are seeking to conform our community here to that. So, I want to leave you with a charge to come to the conference. I know I'm harping on that. I'm just harping on that. And some of you are like, we're members. We're committed. Why do I need to come? Because I want you to be as equipped as possible to help everyone else understand. Because we're going to be answering some really hard questions. What do we do when people walk away from the church? What does it mean? What does it mean for us to gather and to give ourselves? What does it mean practically to be a member of a church? You should commit to learning more about why we're moving toward the changes we hope to make, what it means to be part of a community. The good news about this is that like we're never going to be a perfected community. Like we're never going to be a perfect community. There's no perfect community here. Every community is going to fail you at some point here on this earth, in this life. Every community is going to let you down somehow. And some of you have experienced great failures in community. People have really hurt you. And what I want you to know this morning is that Jesus never failed. He is perfect in his sacrifice to build a community. He is perfecting that community. And one day he will bring you into a realized, perfected community that will never fail you and it will never let you down. And if you are not a part of that, I would love to talk to you about what it means to come to Christ, to come into the body of Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We pray that you would help us to understand this. We pray, Father, that even if there are really difficult things that we need to do, we pray that you would help us to do them. We ask, Father, that you would cause any who are members here at KBC who are not committed to the fellowship, that you would cause them to recommit to the fellowship. They would come here, that we'd be able to talk to them and restore them and welcome them back in the community. We pray, Father, that you would deepen our ties, that you would help us to realize just how vital it is that we give ourselves to one another. We pray, Father, that you would equip us to give our time, talents, and treasures. And we pray, Father, that you would grow and deepen and strengthen this community. And we pray especially that you do that now as you take the Lord's Supper. We ask this in your name. Amen.